Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the LTM Limited Q1 FY27 earnings call. Please note all participants are currently in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions following the conclusion of the management's opening remarks. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikas Jadhav, Head of Investor Relations Team. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Swapnil. Good day, everyone, and welcome to LTM's Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. Today on the call, we have with us Mr. Venu Lambu, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, and Mr. Vipul Chandra, Chief Financial Officer and Whole-Time Director. We'll begin by providing a brief overview of company's Q1 FY27 performance, after which we'll open the floor for Q&A. During the call, we could make forward-looking statements. These statements consider the environment carry risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from those expressed in today's call. We do not undertake to update any forward-looking statement made on this call. I now turn the call over to Venu for his opening remarks.
Thank you, Vikas. Hello, everyone. Firstly, thank you for joining us on a Saturday evening. Our profitable growth journey in the AI era is off to a good start, with our leading industry segments delivering a strong quarter-over-quarter growth. Our New Horizon program continues to deliver significant progress, contributing to the overall margin expansion. Our deal win momentum remains strong. I will share more details on this later in the call. Before I turn into the quarterly numbers, let me briefly recap the strategy we set out at our Investor Day 2026. We committed to becoming an AI-centric organization, reorganizing around AI, building a comprehensive AI ecosystem, and steadily shifting our revenue mix towards AI-led work. This quarter, we delivered many proof points with measurable business outcomes in line with our strategy. We now operate through three lines of business: iRun, iTransform, and Business AI. iRun operates and secures our clients' technology estates with an AI-infused approach. iTransform delivers large-scale transformation, modernization, and differentiated experiences through AI-led software engineering, data, interactive, and enterprise platforms. Business AI reimagines the core business process and client's business model through our domain, data, agentic, and SLM capabilities. Foundational to our lines of business is Blueverse, our AI ecosystem. It brings together our AI-led offerings and deployment capabilities with future-ready talent, domain-specific SLMs, and growing library of pre-built agents supported by new AI-native business models and expanded GTM partnerships. Through this structure, we deliver four distinct types of AI work. Enterprise AI, which embeds intelligence into enterprise technology stack. Business AI, which reimagines core business processes and business models. Industrial AI, which infuses AI into our clients' manufacturing process and supply chains through connected products and solutions. And creative AI, which transform our clients' creative content, design, and experiences. Three lines of business, four types of AI work, one ecosystem. This is how we outcreate with AI. I'm happy to share that our AI revenue across creative, industrial, and business AI together contributed approximately US$150 million on a quarterly run rate basis. Let me now share the financial performance for Q1 FY27. We reported revenues of US$1.22 billion, delivering a 0.3% growth on a sequential basis and 6.4% growth on a year-over-year basis in constant currency terms. We are pleased to report that our EBIT margins came in at 15.5%, a 40 basis point sequential improvement despite wage hikes. This also translates into 120 basis points year-over-year improvement, reflecting strong execution. Our order book continues to be stable at US$1.7 billion, including two large deal wins. Let me now turn to some of our notable deal wins this quarter. In iRun line of business, we were selected by a US-based insurance company to modernize infrastructure operations through an AI-led delivery model, enhancing resilience, stability, and operational efficiency. We expanded our relationship with a global business travel management company to transform its IT operations, application services, and consolidate its infrastructure to an integrated IRON model. In iTransform LOB, we were selected as a strategic vendor by a US-based multinational organization as part of its effort to consolidate its IT services landscape through our IRON, iTransform, and Business AI LOB models. We will help them to reduce complexity, optimize costs, and accelerate transformation. This is the same large deal we referenced during our Investor Day last month. We were chosen as a transformation partner for a leading global automotive manufacturer to consolidate and modernize its technology landscape through an AI-led model, improving operational efficiency and simplifying IT operations. We were selected as a strategic data transformation partner by a major global industrial manufacturer of climate and energy solutions to consolidate its federated data ecosystem into unified enterprise data platform, enabling data monetization and building a single source of truth. We were selected by a US-based financial payments company to advance its technology transformation agenda through an AI insight platform, cloud migration, and modernization initiatives. In business AI, we were selected by a European consumer company to reimagine its existing sales excellence process and deploy an AI-powered data and decision intelligence platform to improve pricing, promotions, and sales effectiveness. We were selected by a global industrial conglomerate to deploy an AI-driven platform that automates end-to-end proposal management, improving speed, quality, and consistency of client responses. Our Blueverse Voicing SLM continues to gain momentum with our clients. We completed 17 unique implementations in the past 12 months, including two key wins this quarter. The first one, a leading US leisure travel company, selected Blueverse Voicing to automate member verification and resolve routine inquiries autonomously. The second one, a global financial administration company, adopted Blueverse Voicing to migrate its customer service operation to an agentic AI-driven voice and intent automation solution. These engagements follow the outcome-based commercial construct. Let me now share updates on our industry segment. Starting Q1 FY27, we have consolidated our reporting under four industry segments, namely financial services, consumer, technology and services, and production. All numbers referenced next represent growth in constant currency terms. As I had indicated about financial services returning to sequential growth, I'm pleased to share that the segment delivered a strong 3.2% sequential expansion on a year-over-year basis. The segment declined by 2.5%. Tech and services segment also reported a strong growth of 3.4% sequentially and a 10% on a year-over-year basis. Production segment reported a decline of 5.7%, mainly on account of fall-off in seasonal pass-through. Over a year-over-year basis, it delivered a very strong growth of 5.3%. Consumer segment declined by 0.7% sequentially and grew significantly by 18.2% on a year-over-year basis. The quarterly decline was due to the delayed ramp-ups and delayed projects in India and Middle East. With our large industry segments reporting strong sequential growth, it sets a strong foundation for the year ahead. We are also encouraged to see the growth momentum broadening across client categories, with our top 5 and top 10 customers recording sequential growth of 4.5% and 4.3% respectively. I'm pleased to share that all our client categories expanded both sequentially and a year over year. On a year over year basis, we added one client in the US dollar 50 million plus category, taking the total to 15, and 11 clients in US dollar 20 million plus category, bringing the total to 52. We continue to see consistent external validation of our capabilities by industry analysts and partners. This quarter, we received several recognitions. I will call out a few of them. We received the Golden Peacock Award for Excellence in Artificial Intelligence 2026, recognizing our leadership in enterprise-scale AI adoption and innovation through our Blueverse ecosystem. We were recognized as a market leader in the HFS Horizons Next Gen IT Infrastructure Services 2026 report. We were recognized as a leader in the ISG Provider Lens SAP Ecosystem 2026 report. We received the Google Cloud Partner of the Year 2026 awards for media, entertainment, and infrastructure modernization in North America. We won the 2026 Databricks Global COE Partner of the Year Award. We won the Talent Acquisition Innovation Award at the Financial Express HR Awards 2026. Please refer to the fact sheet for the complete list of recognition. This quarter, we continue to strengthen our Blueverse ecosystem. I would like to share with you some of the key highlights. We launched Blueverse Iron for integrated ops, Blueverse Databricks for data transformation, and Blueverse Write Logic for cybersecurity remediation. We launched Blueverse Currency, our new commercial construct that offers outcome-based pricing for AI services. We expanded our Blueverse Studio footprint with a new facility in Bangalore. We launched AI 1000, our strategic workforce transformation initiative, with the goal of developing a pool of 1,000 forward-deployed engineers. To accelerate our SLM development and deployment to clients across key verticals, we participated in a strategic investment round in Unifor, the business AI company. Unifor unlocks the agentic enterprise with a complete composable AI platform spanning agents, models, knowledge, and data. This investment will strengthen our previously announced partnership with Unifor in delivering industry and domain-specific SLM. We signed partnership with OVH Cloud in France to accelerate the deployment of sovereign AI cloud in Europe. I would like to now share a few proof points on four types of AI work that we are delivering. In business AI, for a global specialty chemicals leader, we built an AI-led growth insights engine that unifies how team asks, analyzes, and acts on insights across brand, pricing, and market share to form a centralized agentic intelligence layer. For a US-based multinational organization, we built an end-to-end generative engine optimization strategy and grew impressions, clicks, AI mentions, and improved LLM-driven traffic by 33%. In creative AI, for a leading real estate company, we generated 2 million plus views across 10 video assets by scaling marketing campaigns and creatives through AI-led content generation, cutting time to market by 75%, reducing asset production costs by 50%. For a global beauty brand, we produced organizational change management content through an AI-led content generation approach, accelerating consistent enterprise communication to 4,000 plus researchers and scientists in the research and innovation division. In enterprise AI, for a global energy major, we consolidated a fragmented monitoring landscape into a single agentic operation intelligence platform, cutting operations costs by up to 40%, reducing alert noise by 85%, and auto-remediating over a third of recurring incidents. For a global hospitality leader, we modernized a mission-critical revenue platform by pricing rooms across 10,000-plus hotels. Our agent-led human-in-loop model eliminated 400-plus vulnerabilities per application with zero downtime. In industrial AI, for a global power management leader, we created a digital twin and closed-loop robotic correction through our iNext physical AI platform. This delivered 97.4% defect detection accuracy and 67% less downtime, with clients realizing ROI in the first iteration. For a global automotive leader, we deployed an ML-driven predictive solution on their laser banking line that detects process instability before it causes downtime, enabling 70% accurate early alerts with actionable operator recommendations. With this, I would now like to hand it over to Vipul for an update on financials.
Thank you, Vinu. Hello, everyone, and thank you once again for joining us on a weekend. We hope you have reviewed our integrated annual report for FY26, which provides detailed disclosures on both financial and non-financial metrics and highlights our ongoing commitment to ESG principles. Let me now walk you through the financial highlights for the first quarter of FY27, starting with our revenue performance. Our Q1 revenue stood at $1,224 million, reflecting a growth of 0.3% quarter-on-quarter and 6.4% year-on-year in constant currency. The corresponding dollar growth was 0.1% quarter-on-quarter and 6.1% year-on-year. Revenue in INR stood at 11,608 crores, up 2.8% quarter-on-quarter and 18% year-on-year. Our EBIT margin expanded by 40 basis points sequentially to 15.5%, primarily driven by operational efficiencies from the New Horizon program, in addition to Forex benefits. The EBIT margin also shows an expansion of 120 basis points year-on-year from 14.3% in Q1 FY26. This expansion has been possible due to the concerted focus on margin improvement initiatives under the Fit for Future program last year and continuing under the New Horizons program this year. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at Rs. 1469 crores as compared to Rs. 1341 crores in the previous quarter, an increase of 9.5% quarter-on-quarter and 17.1% year-on-year. The PAT margin came in at 12.7%, up from 11.9% last quarter. The movement from EBIT to PAT includes the impact of higher investment income, losses on cash flow hedges, and a one-time gain on the recognition of the value of our investment in Voicing.ai. The effective tax rate for the quarter was 25.8%, compared with 26.3% in Q4. Basic EPS was Rs. 49.5 for the quarter, as compared to Rs. 45.4 in Q4 FY26. Our total DSO for Q1 stood at 85 days versus 84 days last quarter. The OCF to PAT ratio stood at 79%, down from 96% in Q4, while FCF to PAT was 63% versus 75% in Q4. Normalized for the one-time gain, these ratios would have been 88% and 70% respectively. Cash and investment balances stood at around USD 1.5 billion or Rs. 15,021 crores post the payout of the final dividend for FY26, compared to Rs. 15,445 crores in Q4 FY26. Return on capital employed for the quarter was 29.8% versus 29.2% last quarter. As of June 30, 2026, our cash flow hedges stood at USD 4.71 billion and hedges on the balance sheet were USD 318 million. Utilization, excluding trainees, stood at 86.4% for the quarter compared to 85.7% in Q4. The headcount at the end of Q1 was 87,886. Fresher addition stood at 1,308. For the quarter, our TTM attrition remained stable at 13.3%. As an update on our previously announced intention to acquire Randstad Technology and Consulting Services business in Europe and Australia, we have submitted the required applications to regulators across various countries for approvals, and the process remains on track with our planned schedule. I'm pleased to share that CRISIL reaffirmed LTM's long-term and short-term credit ratings at AAA stable and A1 plus respectively, while the company received a CRISIL ESG score of 77 and a core ESG score of 83 in FY26, placing it in the leadership category, CRISIL's highest ESG recognition tier. I'm also happy to share that at the Business World CFO World Awards 2026, LTM has received two prestigious honors, Excellence in Financial Reporting and Excellence in Crisis Management. These recognitions reflect the strength of our governance framework and our focus on risk management. I now hand it back to Venu for the business outlook.
Thank you, Vipul. Let me now turn to our outlook for the year ahead. Our order book remains strong and broad-based. The pipeline continues to build across our segments, and we are converting that into sustained deal momentum. Our AI pivot is now delivering tangible proof points for our clients. Our three lines of business, four types of AI work, and one Blueverse ecosystem are helping us deliver AI impact to our customers. And this is reflected in the nature and the size of deals we are winning. The productivity link pricing conversation we have had with some of our large clients are now behind us. That transition is complete. And we see this as a source of strength going forward rather than a headwind, as it has strengthened our strategic positioning with these accounts. Taken together, the order book, the AI proof points, and the completion of this client transition gives us confidence that our growth will accelerate through Q2 and into the second half, alongside further expansion of the margins. Thank you. The floor is now open for Q&A.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may click on the raise hand icon from the participants tab on your screen. We request participants to restrict to two questions each and then return to the queue for more questions. To rejoin the queue, you may click on the raise hand icon again. We'll wait for a few minutes until the question queue assembles. Requesting participants to click on the raise hand icon. We have our first question coming in from Sulabh Govila of Morgan Stanley. Sulabh, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Thanks for taking my question and congrats on the growth seen in the top client buckets. My first question is on the outlook, just trying to better understand. So in the first quarter, on a Q&Q basis, there was a underlying business momentum that you saw. If you adjust for the seasonal pass-through element and the macro-related headwind that was there in the Middle East, so is it fair to assume that that sort of a business momentum should reflect from 2Q onwards, especially with the deal win sustaining, or are there any additional moving parts, you know, which can change that trajectory, particularly for 2Q?
Yeah, so look, firstly, thanks for the question. Look, I think the positive news is, some of our biggest segments are in the growth trajectory, and I expect that to continue as we go into the next quarter. Barring the seasonal moment, the aspect that I called out on the Middle East and the India ramp up, unless there is no escalation which is beyond our control on the geopolitical situation, the rest of the market segments, which has got a great start to the year, should continue even for Q2. So I don't see any issue with any of our global industry segments.
Understood. And then secondly, with respect to the sales headcount, so there has been some moderation over the last 1 year of about 8 to 9%. I just wanted to understand, is this more on the support side due to efficiencies, or have there been some actions in a particular geography that has led to that?
Yeah, it is related to the enabling function, the support function. If you recall our strategy, we did articulate that we want to grow faster and also embrace AI within our own internal usage. And, we are seeing the benefits of it. How do we run our internal IT? How do we run our finance, HR, support functions, operations functions, and so on? So those productivity benefits are visible when you see those changes.
Understood, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I'll get back into the queue.
Thank you, Sulabh.
Thank you so much, Sulabh. We are taking our next question from Ashwin Mehta of Ambit Capital. Ashwin, you can go ahead now.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. So what is the nature of demand that is being served by subcontractors instead of our own employees? Because that's one element that's gone up by 130 bips QOQ and almost 320 bips YOY.
Yeah, so Vipul, I will take this one and you please add to it, further to it.
Sure.
Right, so Ashwin, it is essentially related to, a vendor consolidation exercise that's happening with, some of our customers, especially the customers where we have a deep relationship across a couple of verticals, where the clients are asking us, to transition the tail vendor to be part of a leading vendor in the vendor consolidation exercise. As a part of that, the approach is usually you transition it from the tail vendors and then, you convert that into our end state model over a period of time. So I see this as, spike due to those kind of engagements, but not an indicative of any specific trend. Over a period of time, you should see a decrease in that, and you know, when it moves into our end state model.
And a follow-up to what Sulabh asked, on the SG&A side, what you seem to have indicated that there seem to have been G&A efficiencies that have come in. Earlier, our expectation was that SG&A would go more closer to the 11.5% of sales level. Do you see that happening now, or given the efficiencies on the other side, the SG&A should be kind of stable at these levels?
We would expect it to remain stable at these levels. You know, I think one of the things that we're doing is we're not touching the sales. In fact, we are investing a lot on sales, especially on the enablement side. One of the things that we've initiated is the training of our sales organization on the new AI way of selling, as an example. There's a new competencies that we are enabling them. So the productivity of our salespeople is actually moving in a positive direction. So I would, I'm really encouraged with those responses, the way we are pivoting there. And all the efficiency that you see is to build an AI-driven organization for our internal operations. And that means that will remain steady, you know, for times to come. I don't expect any variation of that.
Sure. Thanks, Venu, and all the best.
Yeah. Vipul, you want to add something onto this, please?
Yeah, I will just... I'll just add one thing, Venu, that, you know, the SG&A will not or is not likely to go up to the 11-11.5% range. But yeah, quarter on quarter, some amount of variation from the current levels can happen because we are continuing to invest in our sales, build up. And to that extent, there could be some, minor, movements up and down from time to time. But overall, the 11-11.5% range, I think we have kind of... been able to achieve efficiencies which have caused this change to be more, I would say, sustainable.
Okay. Thanks, Vipul.
Thank you so much. We are taking a next question from the line of Rohit Thorat of Axis Capital. Rohit, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So you saw good growth in BFSI, high tech, North America, and even in top five customers. Client mining data was also good in higher client tiers. However, there was a drag in consumer. So do you expect the drag to continue like in further quarters, or is it expected to worsen? So some qualitative commentary on that vertical would be helpful.
Yeah, look, I think... if you look at it, I proactively called out the reason why the consumer, firstly, you look at consumer, it has grown 18.2% year-on-year basis. That's it. That's huge, right? The quarterly decline is pretty much related to the, some of the large deal that, as you're aware, we are dealing with in India with the tax department. And, during the war situation, the shipments of certain hardware delivery, and also the challenges around the memory chips and everything to build an AI-centric model that got delayed. And that's, that once, I'm assuming now that the shipments will get accelerated. So I don't expect that trend to continue. And, the decline is very marginal with the kind of growth we have year on year. So I'm positive and optimistic about consumers' growth momentum.
Okay, thank you. The next question is on growth from North America. Do you feel that the growth was broad-based during the quarter and you are comfortable that things have bottomed out and growth momentum would be sustained going forward?
Absolutely. Our tech services, which is hugely North America-centric, grew 3.4%, sequentially and double-digit on a year-on-year basis. So I'm confident of that continuing that momentum. The financial services also is back to a sequential growth, and it's showing a great demand traction in the financial services. So yeah, I'm optimistic about the continued momentum in North America, absolutely.
Okay. Last question is on the utilization front. Do you believe that you are already at an optimal level and you would need to step up hiring going forward? And also, what are your hiring plans for freshers this year versus last year?
Vipul, you want to take this, please?
Sure. I think, you know, in terms of the utilization, we have previously articulated that we are targeting to stay somewhere in the region of 86 to 87%. We are currently in the middle of that range. Again, quarter on quarter, you may see some variations up or down, but you know, it's a comfortable range for us to be in. Coming to the freshers hiring, I think we have been continuing with our fresher hiring and deployment. In this quarter itself, we have deployed, you know, or we have taken freshers, about 1,308 freshers have been added. And we'll continue to add freshers as we go along. I think, you know, from our strategy point of view, it is important to continue to build the AI-ready talent. And to that extent, you know, this initiative will continue. Though, as we have called out in our strategy, that you know, the shape of the pyramid, etc., over a period of time will change from the traditional pyramid to a more diamond-shaped structure. But I hope that answers the question that you are asking.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for taking the questions.
Should we move to the next one, moderator?
Sure. We are taking a next question from Sandeep Shah of Equirus Securities. Sandeep, you can unmute your microphone now.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand what percentage of revenue comes from Middle East, and then you have given an outlook about growth to accelerate in the coming quarter. Are we expecting even the geopolitical issue are largely behind or may have some impact in the coming quarter as well?
Look, firstly, the Middle East, you know, numbers is less than 3% for us. That's on the first part of the question. The second part of the thing is that, as I mentioned in the outlook commentary, you know, we are reasonably confident about you know, growing in the subsequent quarter and continuing that momentum for the second half of the year. And, you know, geopolitically is what it is, right? So, I mean, I can't say that it is end of the situation of geopolitical thing. You never know what arises next week and so on. But keeping that aside, the fact that some of our big businesses are growing, our North America has got a great traction, you know, built up. And the productivity topic is behind us. The transition is complete in our top clients. Our top 10 clients, you know, have got a great momentum, not just for this quarter in terms of the pipeline that they have built up for the next quarter. You know, we will deal with anything that comes about in the quarter with regard to the geopolitical, which none of us can predict what it is. But what is most important is that our, you know, our growth verticals, our growth businesses, our big size businesses, you know, are in the right position.
Yeah, yeah. And Venu, when you say growth to improve in your outlook comment, are you talking organically and that too on a Q-on-Q CC term?
Yeah, it's on. You know, my commentary was on organic because whatever is inorganic, as Vipul mentioned, that is expected to close sometime, you know, probably at the beginning of Q3. So my commentary was all organic.
Okay. And out of many large deals which we have won, the income tax deal has got delayed, which you expect may start ramping up from 2Q, right?
Yes. You know, whatever is the delay ramp up, I'm expecting it to, you know, start ramping up in Q2. But the larger issue about hardware, you know, shipment timelines, and the memory prices is something that, you know, that still need to see how it navigates over the next 1 or 2 months. But whatever was got delayed from a Q1 perspective, I expect that to appear in Q2.
Okay. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sandeep. We'll go to our next participant. We have Dipesh Mehta of MK Global. Dipesh, you can unmute your microphone now.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions. First, just want to continue on this income tax related deal. How to understand ramp up in that part? Do you expect it to be very gradual or it would be very sharp ramp up as and when, let's say, it start, you source the hardware and some of the issues related to supply chain get addressed? Second question is about fresher addition plan. We added around 1,300 odd employees, freshers in quarter one. How to understand for full year plan perspective? Third question is data related on non-controlling interest. We reported this quarter gain. Can you help us understand what played out there? Thank you.
Yeah. On the why don't we start from the third one, Bipul? Do you want to pick up that up while I pick up the first two ones?
Yeah, so on the non-controlling interest gain, I think we did speak about it very briefly when I was giving the financials. There is a valuation gain,
You lost people.
Okay. So there is an increase in the non-controlling interest, participation because of the Saudi JV that has been ramping up, in its business, and also there was a valuation gain that we experienced in our investment in Voicing.ai, which also has been done through one of our subsidiaries in US, and as a result of which the contribution from the subsidiaries has gone up in this quarter.
All right, thank you, Vipul. Let me take the question with regard to the ramp up. Look, as I mentioned, the Q2 will be will be higher than Q1 when it comes to that particular project in India that you referred. Now, in terms of the speed of ramp-up, I don't know how you define gradual, fast, and so on. There is a project timelines which we have to deliver. So that's in the common interest of us and the client, and we're working towards delivering to that schedule. There are some element of shipment visibility we have of the hardware that is needed to make our software services work on that. And we expect that delivery to happen in the beginning of Q2. So that will make us realize a lot of milestones that we have. We have a commitment towards our customer. So that's how I see it. So the whole idea is that if we can come back to our original project schedule between in Q2 and Q3, which is of a common interest for both us and the client, then we are back on the project.
And the last part, if you can address, fresher. And in this, any
risk? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Any risk because of the, let's say, pricing fluctuation? Any risk we carry in this deal from margin perspective?
I'll address the freshers, then I will pick up the pricing related thing on that. We added 1,100 plus freshers this quarter, and I expect the same numbers to continue. We would love to champion a lot of freshers program. That's one of the things that we are really encouraged by the results. Last year we had more than 6,000 plus freshers that came in. And when we launched our exponential engineering capabilities and AI native, skills, we were really encouraged with that cohort of talent that came into our organization and that brought in an AI native skill sets, which we can harness and give them a lot more opportunities. So we're going to look for every opportunity to accelerate our freshers hiring. But at the minimum, in the first quarter, we did 1,100, and I'll explore all the opportunities to accelerate that faster. But at the outset for the year, you can assume on an average, the same number of freshers that we will add on a quarterly basis. With regard to the pricing and margins, look, we are not factored anything on that aspect because it's a known issue. It's not something which is related to LTM delivery or LTM cost. It's an issue that impacts broadly across the sectors, and the client is conscious about it. It's not just us. There are a lot many other parties who are in that supply chain who are having those conversations, and we are reasonably confident it will get addressed. So at the moment, we are not calling out any impact with regard to the margins for that project.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dipesh. We have our next question coming in from the line of Girish Pai of BOB Capital. Girish, you can go ahead now. Girish, your voice is very feeble, it seems.
Yeah, can you speak a bit louder, Girish?
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay, Venu, you mentioned that growth is going to pick up from 2Q onwards and strengthen through the rest of the year. Will this mirror some of the growth you saw in the first three quarters of FY26? Will that, or it be better or worse than that?
Okay, so Girish, our endeavor is, and I think which I publicly sort of stated that our endeavor is when we made the Q4 commentary, is to keep the growth momentum the same as we go into the FY27. So the foundation was 6%. Growth that we delivered in FY26. That's a base foundation. And, our effort is to improve further on that. So that's the, that's the direction we are going. In the short term, I see good traction on all the segments that I called out, especially some of our large segments, which we are very encouraged with. So that same momentum should continue Q2 and as we go along, into the second half. But if I had to put, one line summary, I will definitely say the expectation is that it will be better than FY26.
Okay. Venu, we've had some deployment companies being created in the June quarter by both the AI labs and also the hyperscalers. And some serious amount of investment has gone into them. Are you coming across these players in the market or you also have relationships with them? How is this kind of working out? I mean, there are the potential competitors, they're also partners to you. Is there kind of split of business? How is the go-to-market here?
Sure. Great question. And I would say Girish would call that as a new ecosystem, right? And we're accelerating the partnership with the new ecosystem. Our investment in Voicing was the foundation to start building that ecosystem. Today we announced the investment in Unifor, which is a business AI company, which essentially has a platform on which you can build SLMs. So we made a strategic investment in their fundraising round. So that's the second, part of the building block of the ecosystem. And the most important one and the largest ecosystem building blocks are the relationship we have with hyperscalers. Right, with all of the hyperscalers, we have a relationship which goes more than a decade. We successfully partnered with them during their digital journey, during their cloud journey. And, the same partnership is strengthening in the AI era as well with those hyperscalers. I mean, we are one of the largest, users of Copilot as an example, right, both for our internal use and the kind of work we do for our customers. Same thing that we work with, Google Gemini as an example. We work with AWS on a similar set of products and services that they have. So we strengthen with all these hyperscalers on that partnership. And the third element is the AI labs, right? With AI labs, we have proactively initiated, skilling our people. We set up a center of excellence with all, which is related to all of the AI labs that are there, essentially the two of them. I should be able to share more update in the coming week on that, so we are in the final stages of announcing some strategic partnership with one of the AI labs soon.
Okay, my last question is regarding the split between Iron, iTransform, and business AI revenues. What was the number for 1QFY27?
I'm not sure whether we share it in the fact sheet, Vipul. I'm not privy to that. Anything that you want to share that?
We have only called out the business AI, creative AI, and industrial AI combined revenue in our opening remarks, which is a quarterly run rate of about 150 million plus. Enterprise AI, we have, or Iron and iTransform, we have not specifically called out because
it is basically becoming a bit all pervasive. So it's very difficult to kind of segregate that out from the normal revenue and iron and iTransform revenue. Iron and iTransform are more the way we are delivering our services to our customers. So in a way, they are like AI is everywhere in the delivery of services today, in some shape or form.
Yeah, I mean, that's the core services reimagined with AI, and all the four types of the remaining three types of AI work, which we started to quantify, and that's why I included it in my initial briefing about $150 million run rate for this quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Girish. We are taking our next question from Sumit Jain of CLSA. Sumit, you can go ahead with your question now.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah. Hi, Venu. Hi, Vipul. Wanted to just check, first of all, the news around the FDE army of engineers being deployed by the hyperscalers. Microsoft announced around 6,000 such FDEs and invested $2 to $3 billion in that entity. So how does that compete with your work around what you do for Microsoft and, of course, the AI deployment? Do you see it as a competition, or do you see it as a symbiotic relationship where your work will actually go up in terms of AI deployment?
No, great question, Sumit. I'm glad that you asked that question. Firstly, let's look at the opportunity that AI has in reimagining the business process, right? I mean, there are so many data points that has been quoted, which runs into, a sort of $1 trillion new addressable market spend that's available, for the industry to capture. Now, we have moved from the phase of what I call as an AI creation phase to AI deployment phase, right? Most of the, this year, the buzz was around AI creation. What does AI do, and, what kind of models are there? What are the features of the model, and so on? I think now the conversations have moved from appreciating the AI creation, which is absolutely, has touched all kind of innovation levels. Now is the real, when the rubber hits the road, is the AI deployment conversation. So now, as those conversations gets real, there is a strong demand for FDE engineers in the ecosystem. And if you count the number of FDE engineers that are available globally, trust me, they are like in few thousands, right? So they're not like in hundreds of thousands or 200,000s of like software engineers. No, they're very, very small number at the moment in the market. So the market needs a large population of FDE engineers, to accelerate their adoption. So that's the, first hypothesis. Now, the second is the hyperscalers who are investing and building the FDE capability. We have been through a similar kind of journey in the cloud where, there was a cloud professional services that most of the hyperscalers built it, and they still have it. And we ended up working with them. We ended up working with them on two fronts. Either either they became our customer, we delivered services through them to their customers, right? Or we actually partnered with them in some of the large deals. So I'm really excited about, these announcements that has been done hyperscaler. And one of the hyperscalers, that we have a very strong relationship. We are already in the thick of the journey in sort of helping them to deploy, some of the new AI workloads, as I call it. Especially on the new products. So I see this more as an opportunity for us than as a threat, especially in the context that at the moment there are very, very handful number of FDE engineers available in the global ecosystem, and the world needs more of that.
No, right. That's very helpful, Venu. And just another question, more of a, your long-term journey, that five-year target you have given to double your revenues. And of course, right now we are struggling in maybe, 6 to 8% kind of a range. So what kind of, areas are you looking to actually boost your growth to double digits? Otherwise, I think that five-year target will just be aspirational.
So, look, I agree with you. I think we shared the strategy and, that we intentionally have kept a very bold and ambitious goal because we believe there is opportunity that lies in the marketplace, and we're going through an initial phase of transition in the market towards that. If I just do a quick recap of the strategy, right, there are so many elements, but in the context of this question, I will, you know, cover only two or three things. First is, we said, let's also think about growing in the, European region faster than North America. North America is important for us. It's the biggest market for us. We continue to grow, but we have a lot of white space that's available in the European region. And, you know, the structured deal that we did will lead us to, accelerate our European journey from Q3 and beyond. Second is that there are white spaces in the Asia-Pacific market. You know, even if I look at it the market segment point of view, even Asia-Pacific, is going to be a big white space for us. And, with this acquisition, we get inroads into some of the marquee clients in that region. So there are spaces like that in the market, which we believe there are still white space that exists, and we can make sure that we succeed in those white spaces. And, our move of acquiring, the deal that we announced was in line with the strategies. That is one part of it. The second part of it is that the newer capabilities we are building in. Look, I mean, the three types of AI work that I spoke about, is that $150 million quarterly run rate. But if I look at the opportunity that lies ahead of us, it's huge. So if we can grow more on those three types of AI work, and on the first type of AI work, which is enterprise AI, use that to get more large deals, but deliver faster growth on these three types of AI work is again another growth impetus that will add to the aspiration. And the third one I would believe is that we are navigating all this with a limited appetite on the discretionary spend of the clients, right? So it's not that the discretionary spend is at its glory, right? So we are still navigating whether it's a geopolitical situation or the inflation, economic, scenarios that keeps changing from quarter to quarter. And, I'm hoping that will not remain the next 5 years. While the change is the new normal, but there are a lot of backlog of projects where clients are waiting to get their situation better so that they can spend a lot more. So, there are three or four more such factors like that which will add us the growth impetus, towards our five-year ambition. And, the acquisition that we made was the first step towards that, apart from all the things that we do organically.
Got it. And maybe one last question, if I can squeeze in. I mean, the AI deflation, which is hurting the industry. And of course, you guys have seen it in your top accounts in high tech and in financial services. But can you just flag, how much portfolio of your overall company has actually seen through that deflation and how much is yet to see? Or is it that only with the top customer you saw that, but in the rest of the client engagement, you are not going to see much of that AI deflation, which will pull back your revenue growth ambition?
Look, I think that chapter, as I called out, is behind us, right? Because I've been consistent in my earnings that, the productivity headwinds in top accounts, in top segments is what is material. What happens in the smaller accounts and smaller engagements is really not material because you anyway have so much work to do in those accounts. It doesn't impact, the growth parameters as such. While it might, on a transaction level, it may give you a deflation impression, but there's so much of work to do. So it, when you add up both, it becomes net positive. The concern for us was in the big accounts and the big segment. When I say concern, we were navigating the journey, but that's behind us. So I don't see that playing out for us in this year. In fact, this year, our focus is a lot on sort of grabbing all the early opportunities that is visible in the AI era, right? I mean, the speed is still not at the acceleration phase on the AI adoption. The AI adoption with clients are still lagging the narrative. But as and when they start accelerating that adoption, with all the capabilities, we'll be geared for it. Vipul, if you want to add something more to this, please do add.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to add one point only, that in the last earnings call also, we had called out that we had started on this journey the earliest. And, we are, out of that phase now, as Venu has said. So I think that should, give the comfort to you in terms of, whether this is how much of our revenue has gone through. Because most of our top clients have actually gone through the phase.
Got it. That's very comforting. All the best. I will get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Requesting all participants to click on the raise hand icon from the participants screen if you wish to ask any questions. We'll take our next question as a follow-up from Sandeep Shah of Equirus Securities. Sandeep, you can go ahead now.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Vipul, just wanted to understand how do you see margin in the next 3 quarters, because we are expecting some acceleration in the growth on a Q1Q even organically. And is there any investment banking legal related cost for the Randstad partnership and the M&A which we announced in this quarter?
Okay. In terms of the margin progression, I would say that our organic margin is going to continue to grow and expand because of the initiatives that we have been taking since last year, and we are continuing with them in this year as well. And I think the growth pickup will only contribute further to that. We had also, I think, highlighted that the deal that we have announced is a 360-degree relationship that we are starting with Randstad, which has got three components. And, one of the components was the IT business that we are going to do for them. The second component was where we are outsourcing our talent, sourcing. To them, and the third component was the takeover of their technology and a digital business in Europe and Australia. And and there is no investment banking cost also in that transaction because it was a direct transaction.
Okay. And this large deal which we announced from the Randstad on the IT services side will also come in the second half along with the M&A closure, or it can start from 2Q itself?
It has already started.
Okay.
We are starting the ramp up on that already. So Q2 onwards, we should be ramping up.
Yeah, and just last question. With Randstad likely to come in the second half, you believe second half margin may have some headwinds and could be lower than the first half margin?
So, I think, we had called out when we had announced the deal also that the impact, we don't expect any major impact on the margins. We should be able to deliver similar margins as last year or better. I think we are on track for that. And as I said, our organic margin will continue to expand. And, upon consolidation, we should be able to, deal with the initial impact, if any. And after that, the synergy should start kicking in a quarter or two for the next year.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Sandeep. Requesting participants, if you wish to ask a question, please click on the raise hand icon from the participants tab on your screen. We'll wait for the question queue to assemble. We have a follow-up coming in from Girish Pai of BOB Capital. Girish, you can go ahead now.
Yeah, I had two questions on margins. There was an improvement in BFSI margins, segment margins, QOQ. Any specific reason? And the second question is regarding the margin walk. I don't know whether you discussed this before, but can you just tell us what the margin walk was between Q4 and 1Q?
Okay. So on the BFS side, the margin improvement is primarily on account of the revenue growth coming back in. And, the utilizations, etc., improving, and we should continue to see that happening as we go forward, as the BFS, or the financial services continues to start showing growth further. As far as the second question is concerned, can you just repeat the second question once, please? I kind of lost track of that.
The margin walk quarter on quarter.
Okay, so the margin walk, is in terms of the 40 basis points improvement sequentially,
as I called out, is attributable to the operational efficiencies driven by a new Horizons program, as well as some amount of Forex impact, and which was offset partly by the wage hike.
Can you put some numbers to that, please?
Okay, the wage hike impact we had already called out, last quarter. It's expected to, it was expected to be around 1% or so, but largely the Forex impact and the wage hike impact have kind of cancelled out each other. So you can say that the net improvement is basically on account of the operational efficiencies coming from New Horizon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Girish. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. On behalf of LTM Limited, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now click on the leave icon to exit the meeting. Thank you all for your participation.